Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. Well, I have two new guests to the Charisma Podcast Network, at least to the Green Lines Podcast. Pastor Randy Rice and Pastor Curtis Hill are with us, and you're going to meet with them in just a little bit. I just heard the show. I'm really excited about the podcast. I can't wait for you to hear it. But you got to wait a little minute because I want to introduce you to them. Pastor, they're in the Cincinnati area. They pastor a big church. He's been in pastoral ministry for over 30 years in the greater Cincinnati area, and he served as the founding senior pastor of Life Church Westchester, and that's in Pennsylvania, for the past 16 years. In 2018, Pastor Curtis Hill joined him as an associate pastor, and the two have really formed a great apostle and prophet relationship in the body of Christ in their local region and their local church. But more than that, now they've got a podcast here on the Charisma Podcast Network where they call their podcast a prophetic pulse. And they're not afraid to prophetically speak to the world about behaviors that are counter to the Word of God. And it will do nothing but cause us more trouble. So this is a good call out. They call out sin for sin. You'll hear it. It's in the podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Listen to every word. These are two good men you're going to hear, two good pastors called of God. Their show, The Prophetic Pulse. Here they are. Well, as promised, Pastors Randy Rice and Pastor Curtis Hill are with us. They're in a studio that looks an awful lot like mine. I get to see them on a Zoom call, so we get to look at each other and can wave things at each other and know when it's time to hush so I can let them talk. But I want to tell you all how excited I am about this interview. And so, men, I just first want to, I know you're from Cincinnati. You've got a great church there. I want to welcome you to the Charisma Podcast Network, both as my guest and as producers of an absolutely great podcast that we're going to talk about as we go along. It's called The Prophetic Pulse, and we will talk about it. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk about the church first. I love to talk about local churches and what you're doing. And I know that Cincinnati is kind of known for their chili. And so I would imagine you've grown your church with good chili. That's your secret weapon. Tell me how you've grown your church and how you're serving the Lord there in Cincinnati area.
Well, this is Pastor Randy. I got a call from God, you know, about 17 years ago, and we started the church fresh with about 10 or 12 people. And we just started reaching out, growing the church, training leaders. And we actually developed a network, Life Church Network, where we have been planting churches out of our church.
Good for you.
And it's growing not only numerically in-house, but we're trying to multiply the kingdom by raising up leaders and sending them out to plant churches.
Yeah.
And we just had a great time, great people. Community is amazing. I've lived in Cincinnati my whole life. There's great need, obviously. And it, you know, we are a fivefold ministry believing church.
Yes.
You know, we operate fully in the gifts, you know, trying to stay as relevant to people and the lost as we possibly can. Just loving people where they are, but really operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. And then the way we view our world, it's really through the lens of the Holy Spirit and how God wants to reach people in, you know, in the world, in the political mountain, in arts and entertainment, in the seven mountains, we call them here. And so our outreach and our mission is to raise up people in those areas as well, to be influences in our culture, and to bring answers to people in those genres of life. So, but we're just having a great time, brother, and we're experiencing the power of God in our services. We're seeing people healed. We just love the Holy Spirit. We love Jesus, you know, and we're just working. Curtis is an incredible leader in the house. He operates in the office of prophet, and he also is a psalmist, him and his wife. And we just have powerful.
I love psalmists.
Yeah. Yeah. Heaven sent kind of ministry on Sunday, and people are so hungry now coming out of the pandemic. Getting back in church. There's so many answers there. We're just having a good time. Yeah.
Are you getting back to somewhat the size you were before, or are people?
Yeah.
Getting... I know. Yeah. Everyone's growing with new faces.
Yeah. We have a lot of new people. I mean, Curtis has noticed
that. It's basically
a
brand new congregation. There's not much from a few years ago.
That's happening in a lot of churches. It's happening. And how do we do it? Through digital, mainly. That's it. That, and I think there's a hunger. I think revival's in the air. I think there's a lot of good things going on in the Midwest.
Yes.
And where you are, and there's a lot of people wanting church there and to live a real life, and they need Jesus, and they know it.
Amen. Amen. And that's where we're meeting people, new people. Their churches shut down. A lot of people have come. Their churches still are on Zoom. And it's just unacceptable to them. And so we've just marched through the pandemic pretty much, you know, without closing too often. We had a few outbreaks of COVID, but other than that, you know, we just plowed through it.
Yeah.
And
I stay well, you two pastors.
Did you say yeah,
that? I did.
Yeah, Curtis.
I stayed perfectly fine.
I had a battle. That was when it first broke out, but you know, everything's great. You know, it was great lessons, great humbling experience, you know. Yeah. I believe in total divine healing and walking in divine health, but when you're attacked by the darkness of disease, you take a humble approach before God and you pray, and the Lord walks you through it and heals you. So,
and you memorize Psalm 91 real quick.
that is
maybe
true.
Before you get it.
So true.
I started memorizing that chapter as soon as the rumors of pestilence was breaking out. I said, 91's for me.
Yes. The answer is
tell
yes.
Me about what you're preaching Sunday. I'm nosy. What are you going to preach this coming Sunday, brother?
Oh, that's so good. So we have been working on a seed that God put in our heart, Curtis and I, about the God of miracles, God of miracles.
Yes.
And we've just created a visual in our service and in our sanctuary, actually, with God of miracles at the center and testimonies of all the healings that are taking place and miracles that God is doing so that people can remember with a visual literally written out on the wall of miracles happening. So we're speaking on the God of miracles. Now, last Sunday, I did not get to preach because the power of God just hit the service and people were getting healed.
Oh, golly.
There were several words of knowledge.
Sure got in the way of a sermon?
Oh, yeah, 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 exactly.
I love it when that happens.
It's just so easy, you know, but I'm always prepared, you know, to preach, but I'm one that, you know, I'd rather the Holy Spirit just show up and do wonderful things.
Yes,
and that's
sir.
What he did. So we're getting testimonies from Sunday, you know, verifying healings and just wonderful things that he did. So God of miracles. Yeah. And that's going to be our theme leading up to Resurrection Sunday and beyond. We feel like God is in it and he's being honored. And when people see our wall that we're building with testimonies, it just builds faith
yes.
in people. And
so
good.
If I wanted to hear you preach this Sunday, where would I find you online? How could we connect to watch you and to participate with the service from wherever we live across the world? Because you know that people in every nation are going to hear this podcast. We are literally in every nation to the glory of God. May not hear it exactly when we send it out, but we know we go across the globe. So how can we find you?
LifeChurchWestchester.com, right on the front page of our website. You have the live stream. We live stream that. We're also on YouTube. We also have Life Church Westchester podcasts. And, you know, I think that's about it. We have other, you know, we're getting on other platforms, but
you
mainly,
can get it all right on the website. You get all our past sermons, and we go live every Sunday.
Okay, give us the website again, because I'm not sure I caught it even.
LifeChurchWestchester.com.
Westchester.
Okay. Yeah.
Westchester. Okay. We'll find it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then I know you've got a lot of social places. We might get time to talk about them, but if they find that one website, they'll connect with you in a great way.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, and I want to welcome you to the podcast network with your show, Prophetic Pulse. And so I'm probably going to jump in here and ask Curtis to tell me a little bit about what the plan was when you, Pastor Curtis, what was your plan when you all started Prophetic Pulse? Tell me about it. And where is it now? How have you done?
Well, I think that's kind of the beautiful thing about it is we didn't really have a plan, and God just kind of, I mean, a lot of it came just from the pandemic. And so to start from the beginning, we every single year at our church will do 21 days of prayer and fasting, encouraging everybody at the beginning of the year, first 21 days in January, to pray and fast. And then we were meeting every single evening. We would come together, pray together, worship together as much as people can, you know. And it seemed like that year we just were like, well, it doesn't seem like it's going to work out, so we'll just do it online, you know. And so it kind of turned into, what is Randy and Curtis going to talk about every single night for 21 days? And we just jumped into it, and we realized, well, let's just talk about things that are going on in our culture today. I mean, you can only chat about prayer and fasting, you know, so many nights in a row until you run out of things to say, or at least until we do. But we just jumped in. We had a lot of things going on in our nation. We had really the 2020 election was kind of the main catalyst for us to be able to really start speaking in the podcast format. There was obviously just a lot going on and a lot of confusion specifically in the prophetic community. You know, I had things that I was hearing from God that I didn't seem to play out the way I thought I was hearing them. I know that was taking place with a lot of other prophets. And so we wanted to come together and talk about, you know, give at least our members, if anybody is going to listen, at least us as local shepherds, can we at least give our local body of believers a good, clear understanding, a hopeful understanding, a victorious understanding of what's going on in our nation and what God is doing. For me, I was a few years ago, I felt like the Lord was calling me to this office of being a prophet. Now, I say that, you know, not that I had any idea what that would look like. It was God speaking it to me. I wasn't going to him, you know, wanting to be one necessarily. if you're wanting to go out and be a prophet, I would second guess your motives.
You might want to find out what comes with that. You know, it's not a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. A few prophets in the Bible were naked for long periods of time. So you got to be careful what God calls you to. So anyway,
I'm just going to leave it right there, bro.
Yeah,
I'm,
we'll just
I'm really not going
to, you know, leave it up to the biblical imagination,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And so even before coming here, before living here, I told God, well, I know the word says that the apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the church, with the cornerstone being Jesus. So I thought, well, God, if you're calling me to prophetic ministry, then I need to be partnered with apostolic ministry.
Come on.
And then shortly after, I get a call from Pastor Randy. The guy didn't even know me at the time, but he was like, the Lord spoke to me. He knew my wife. The Lord spoke to me and said, you guys need to come and be a part of what we're doing here. And
That's
then
amazing.
That kind of turned into what the prophetic pulse is. It was mostly on my heart to be able to really speak prophetically about current issues that are going on today and get God's heart for it, God's pulse on the matter.
Yeah.
And so I think it really works out well when you have, like, we're about three decades apart. I was born 30 years closer to the return of Christ than Pastor Randy was. And so, So I think it's a really cool aspect of being able to see these two totally different generations too, being able to speak apostolically and prophetically about what's going on in our nation. Because isn't that the whole point of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints so they can go out and disciple nations?
Yes. But let's go back to your primarily God places in our lifetime, we know of placing prophets near a pastor for the edification of the saints.
Right.
And of course we know that the prophetic is so needed to deal with, to hear God about the coming revival. We need to have we need the prophets to cry out. Yes. We need people like you, brother, that will get on a podcast and say, this is what the Lord's telling me. This is what we need to hear about this invasion, this war thing going on in Ukraine. This is God's voice on that. And one of the things I like about your podcast is you're not really too afraid to kind of tell folks what you're seeing, what you're hearing. And I think that's one of your unique differences, is you're not arguing it from the sake of anything other than what God's saying, God's voice. And I really like that. And it's a good point of differentiation. Pastor, how does that help you to have him in your church in that prophetic gifting? How does it help you in the ministration of the saints?
Oh, I've been so blessed. I really didn't know how it would work out. Mentoring a young called prophet is something that I hadn't done yet. I've had prophets in my life, but really bringing him up in the church atmosphere and letting him, breathe and experience has just been great. And coming into, what we're doing now with the prophetic pulse, I'm absolutely convinced I would not be here if it were not for Curtis. Curtis had the foresight, and obviously we're collaborating on things, but I wouldn't be doing this. I never saw myself doing this, but I see such a great need for it now. And that's what prophets do. They see things out in front where you're going. And so I've just been really comfortable, being a part of the vision of the prophetic pulse, and what we speak to, why we speak to it is very important to us. And we do bring humor. I mean, we have a lot of fun on the podcast. Yes. We're not afraid to just, chew the fat a little bit, but really speak powerfully and humbly to certain things that we see are creeping into our culture, creeping into the church, as well as celebrating what's happening in the church as well. So there's a lot that we bring, but Curtis has been an instrument of God really in leading the way with the prophetic pulse, and I'm so proud of him.
Well, one of the things I've noticed is that you really focus, I'm going to use the language that you use, discipling nations. That's probably part of the mission of your podcast. You'd like to be able to lead and to have a voice that gets into all the nations. But in doing that, we've got to consider the body of Christ shifting in their attitudes and their perspective of discipling. So help us with that. Either of you, just dive in there and help us to understand how Christian perspective needs to shift when it comes to discipling nations.
Yeah, I think a big revelation for both of us was understanding just the different, what we call mountains of cultural influence. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before, where you have all of these different areas in society that actually shape a nation. It's not just a church that shapes a nation. It's definitely not a church that shapes a nation when the church isn't involved in the things that are actually going on in the nation. If we're just trying to pull people into our building and thinking that that's going to work, then it would have worked by now, because we have churches, at least here in Cincinnati, you can't drive more than a mile without passing five churches.
Right.
Well, if that was the case, transgenderism wouldn't be an issue in today's world. Little boys and girls wondering what their gender is, or, that's just one example of something where our society and our culture is falling apart. So voices that were supposed to be speaking up about these issues must not have been speaking. And I think it's been a real challenge for us. God challenging us to become that voice. And so when I think of discipling nations, I think of being involved in every single area or every single mountain that disciples the nations, politics, government, media, arts and entertainment,
family,
the church is supposed to be a part of that. We should be speaking into what religion looks like in our nation,
education, business, all of it. Yeah. I mean, every mountain of influence. And there's so many things that we can, that Christians can speak to that God wants to share with the world. And we need people at the top of those mountains of influence, if you will, with greater influence than just pastors that speak prophetically in those mountains of influence, as we call them. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great honor to be able to raise up disciples. Right now, we have political leaders that have come out of our church that are sitting right now in the Ohio Senate or in Congress in the House there. So, I mean, it's those are the types of things that we're looking for, to disciple people to go in to the culture and make a difference.
Well, let's talk about the podcast itself. First of all, how often do you put it up?
We do one a week, and then we'll sometimes do extra content if, you know, there's something special going on in our nation. But we definitely try to get one episode a week out.
And when does it usually air? What's the first air date?
That's actually changing a little bit right now. We've had to switch. We also do a video podcast. So if you want to like actually view some of the content that we're playing, because we pull in clips, we pull in other people talking, kind of like what we're doing right now. But we were primarily loading our videos up to YouTube. But guess what YouTube didn't like? They didn't like some of the things that we were talking about.
You
get canceled.
We're on cancel culture's doorstep. Yeah. You know,
you're in jail. You're in YouTube jail.
I don't even know what we're at right now, because I just quit while I was even ahead. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get ahead of this and we're just going to move over. So we're on Rumble now. We're looking for some other video platforms. But being that
Rumble's good.
Rumble's great. Oh, I love it. So being that we just, our schedules are kind of, we're just doing a lot right now. So what we've committed to do is getting an episode out a week. So you can definitely expect that by every single Friday of the week, you're going to have a brand new episode that you can go look at. And you can obviously get your notifications up so you can see when something new comes out.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, and I asked the pastor, what's the next show? What are you working on? What's the interview going to be about? What are you guys stirred up about?
We were just talking about that today. We have the new Supreme Court Justice nominee. You know, we have this man who's pretending to be a woman swimmer, you know, winning awards. I mean, there's such a need for fearless discussion without, you know, being so condemning, but still yet very, very strong. So these are some of the topics that we're batting around. We haven't quite put a title on it, but these are really hard topics that church leaders are not, it's almost like the elephant in the room. They don't even want to speak about it. And it's a fear of loss, a fear of man kind of thing that comes on preachers in the, you know, who are supposed to be fearless, and they just won't talk about it because it's too controversial. But
yeah, and then we've seen entire denominations for that reason. They have succumbed to the culture. And so you now see homosexual pastors in the pulpit. You see people who are drag in the pulpit and just completely embracing things like racism and things that are so counterintuitive to what the Bible even talks about, and what, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you definitely should be getting some kind of correction on some of these issues. So it makes you wonder, is God even involved in any aspect of the ministry if you're willing to just welcome sin in completely into an entire denomination?
Yeah.
And I just believe that if we have a voice and we really just stand our ground, the Bible says, you know, when you put on the armor of God and you've done everything you can, then stand.
Damn.
And just stand there and don't move, don't budge. One thing we were talking about with with this transgender issue, with this man who's swimming against women and obviously winning. You know, it's funny how us as a church, we don't want to be called bad names. We don't want to be called, you know, well, you're homophobic or you're whatever. And so we kind of take a step back and we don't stand. And what I've seen is culture and the devil himself will move the football down the field, and then we'll just move it back a little bit. We won't move it back to the position that it was originally at. So I'm looking at this swimmer and I'm thinking, you know, we're having the discussion whether he should be allowed to swim with women. And I'm wondering when the discussion ended about him being a woman in the first place. Like, why don't that? And that's just one example of things that we talk about on the podcast, where it's like, let's get back to the real foundational issue. And that is the devil, ever since the beginning of the book of Genesis, has been trying to destroy the nature of God that has been put inside of us. And he's not stopping. You see it with the Nephilim, where God literally, I mean, the devil literally took angels and tried to make new beings, beings that were not God's creation. They were trying to take them and change it, because that's the one thing that we got to be that he couldn't be. And then he had to live on the earth with us while we were being the very thing he couldn't be, you know? And so we're just seeing it all. It's the same games. It's the same devil. We're seeing it all play itself out again, where the devil says, you know what, if I can get an entire society to destroy their identity, then I can have a creation instead of God having a creation.
Yeah. And it's all about it's this whole perverse idea of just taking the male and the female and distorting it and diluting it until it doesn't exist, which the male and the female is to reflect the glory of God. It's the way God created us. And so when you have so many, you know, labels as genders, and you're indoctrinating children this way in the school system and in the military and all of these different levels of influence in our culture, who is going to speak? Who's going to bring the morality? Who's going to be the voice? Not so much railing against precious souls that Jesus loves, but bringing to light the darkness that is invading their life. And if Jesus said, if the light that is in you is darkness, if you think you're enlightened with these things, in other words, that are true darkness, how great is that darkness? And this, we feel like this is the mission of the podcast, that we are, you know, called by God to bring light and just bring his love and his light, but in no uncertain terms, there's right and there's wrong, there's good and there's evil.
Amen. Well, brothers, we're about to run out of time, and I don't want to let you go until I get a couple more personal things out of you. And I'd really like you to talk to our audience just before we go, that you get some lobby time with everybody where you just get to say something to them. And brother, if you've got a word for them at all, if there's anything in your heart that you just like to say to our listeners, because you're going to know, Curtis, who's in here and who's listening. I'd like you to address the question with all that's going on, wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and debauchery. I mean, it sounds very familiar in Bible times, and a lot of folks are calling for the end. I don't know, because we don't know, and we're told we won't know. But there have been seasons and times in world history where we've seen these kinds of things line up, and the behavior tends to go this way. What do you say to active Christians, people who are really trying to walk it out, who are following the Lord? Could you give us some homework? Could you tell us something that to answer the question, how then shall we live? Either, and really what I'd like to hear from both of you as we wrap this up.
Yes. You know, great question. I feel like people need to have hope. Christians need to understand that God is still in control, that there are things that he is calling us to do to influence our culture, to influence our communities, and to make the world a better place. I believe in hope. The Antichrist is not going to win in the end. Obviously, the darkness is not going to win in the end. And so what do we do now to prevent those things? And I think having people understand their role is so important, so strategic where they are, whether they're a homemaker or whether they're, you know, a millionaire businessman. You know, having the understanding that God is using you where you are, but be courageous. Don't be cowardice. Stand your ground. Love people, absolutely. But when we are truly salt and light in the earth, light repels the darkness. God will bring that to pass. I believe, actually, that these next 8 years are very, very critical in our nation. I think beyond that, if Christians continue to rise up, speak out against the corruption in our election system, corruption wherever they find it in the government or in business, whatever, that it's going to repel the darkness, and we're going to see actually a renaissance, if you will, and a reemergence of what God has designed America to be, what his heart for America is. But it's going to take us on the ground, being salt and light, loving people, preaching the gospel, absolutely. But wherever we are, in whatever mountain of influence we find ourselves in, we are either, if you're raising children in the home, you are just pouring into those children with the power of the Holy Spirit, or you're speaking as a president, you are speaking with the authority of God. This is what God wants for our nation. Yes. Or a pastor. Yes. He wants this from the people of God. So there's hope. And I think, you know, I look at things in 100-year term. If Jesus tarries, what do we want America to look like? We have to get in the battle, and we have to fight for our land, fight for our churches, fight for our schools, and do the things that God wants us to do right now.
Yes. Pastor Curtis, last word.
Yeah, I think I actually was kind of getting a word from the Lord the other day, and then I got interrupted in the middle of it. Now that I think about it, I need to go back and ask him what the rest of it was. But that's probably not the best way to start out a prophetic
word. You were too busy for the Lord to finish his word with you. Is that what you're trying to say to me, Pastor? Not that I would ever identify with that.
I think God lives outside of time. And so, you know, it's not like his word stopped. So, you know, I think I got some good counterpoints to some of your points. But anyway.
Go ahead. You win.
But what he was telling me, because I watched something, I won't go into it, but I watched just a video online, and it totally was fake. And it was about one of our presidents. But it certainly looked real at first. But being in media, having edited videos, I started to come across that, oh, this is edited wrong. This isn't actually what the person said. And I felt like God spoke to me in the middle of this. And it the president was Obama. It was a speech that he had gave. But I felt like he interrupted me and said, truth right now is more important in this day and age than ever. And what I mean by, truth has been important no matter what. But what I mean by that is discerning truth. Like the information age is only just going to continue to expand and continue to be faster and faster. And it seems like false information gets to you far sooner than the truth does. And with Christians, I've seen a lot of us, like, because we have a sense of justice inside of us and we want to see love and goodness prevail, and we want to see evil fall, it's very easy for us to separate people into the two camps. It's very easy for us to separate leaders into the two camps. And so, but then at the same time, we have a lot of Christians that are extremely skeptical about what journalism and what the news tells us. And I felt like God was just giving this warning that the body of Christ right now needs to really hone in on their discernment gifting, the spirit of truth, that every single time you receive information, even if it's something that you think you want to hear or sounds like good news, you have to take everything with like a spoonful of salt and go to the Lord and say, God, is what I'm hearing true? And then not responding emotionally, which I've done. I respond emotionally to a lot of things, but being able to, you know, harness your emotions, harness the flesh, and go to the spirit of truth and say, God, is what I'm hearing right now truth? And what are you saying about this nation? What are you saying about this war in Ukraine? What are you saying about our president and our election system? Yeah. I think it's something that's really on God's heart. And I think we have access to it. We have access to the Spirit of truth, and God wants to speak to us.
Amen. Pastor, I'd like you to close us out with a verse. If you've got a fresh scripture on your heart that you're working on and that the Lord's given you, and you don't mind, Pastor Andy, just give us a good verse.
There's a great verse in the book of Acts that I keep referring to, and it says, God has said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And I know it goes on, but just those words, all flesh, to me means that he is pouring out his Spirit on saint and sinner alike. And so if Christians would just open their heart to others who don't know Jesus and open their mouth about their testimony, about what Jesus has done for them, and work on people consistently, pray for people, the Spirit of God is upon everybody, every yes. single person, every, he said, I will pour out my Spirit on yeah. all flesh. This is happening right now. We are in this age. Ooh. And we can't limit God. But we do, we can't anymore. We have to know that the Spirit of God is working in every scenario, every situation, every single human being. God is working on somehow. And so if we'll enter the harvest with him, he will show us miracles. He will do the dynamic. There will be deliverances, people set free. I believe the harvest is ripe.
Yeah.
And we just have to know how God is working, and that's how he's doing it.
Amen.
Tell us your website one more time, Pastor.
LifeChurchWestchester.com.
And we also have thepropheticpulse.com if you want to check out everything in regards to just the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we want to say one more time, you're right here on the Charisma Podcast Network. And so thankful to have you, and even more excited about you after meeting you and hearing the power that you walk in. You've blessed us so much being on the show. I want to thank you for giving up some of your good Cincinnati time to be with us. And we're just thankful for you and for your ministry, for your podcast, for your truthfulness, for courage to speak the truth in your pulpit and on the podcast. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Doctor.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we like to say at the end of every podcast, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And let me suggest to you that more abundance would come by walking in the Spirit. May you just hold those hands up high and pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God bless you all.